Our lesson tonight is extremely important, and what it deals with is becoming more and more a prominent problem in Christianity and in false doctrine as we move toward more toward the end of times. Paul here reveals his heart in chapter 9 and chapter 10. He's got a broken heart. It's for the lost tribes of Israel. It's for the Israelite people, a nation. Of course, people are saved one by one. Paul also knew at the same time, and we read that last week over in chapter 11, that there would be a day when there would be national. All of Israel shall be saved. That's national. He knew that. But yet he carried a continual sorrow in his heart for his people. And just like anyone else, saved one by one. Jews have been saved at Pentecost. There was 3,000 saved. It was all Jews. Another day there was 5,000 saved. It was all Jews. The Lord was adding daily in Acts chapter 2. Those were all Jews. And that continued. That continued until Paul went ablaze into the Gentile and started churches among the Gentiles. And the emphasis kind of left off of Jerusalem, more on the Gentile churches. Not that it's more important, but that's the New Testament. And the truth of the of doctrine is that God has a specific and prophetic plan for the nation of Israel for the future. The denial of that is to deny the Bible. Paul said in chapter 11, all of Israel shall be saved. And to deny that is to deny the Bible. And yet you have prophets, whatever you want to call them, out there today teaching that God's through with Israel. Israel should be destroyed and should not be recognized. And a lot of anti-Semitism today. Hatred toward them, and so forth. People just don't know the Bible. I have read twice, and both times that I read this, and I don't read news because I don't watch it. I don't listen to any news. I watch the last 2.5 minutes when Judge Judy goes off. I watch the first 2.5 minutes of ABC News. That's what I get. The new cases of virus, how many hospitalizations, and a couple highlighters that's going on in Columbus, and then it goes off. That's all I get every day. I don't listen to any other news. If I see anything, it's on Facebook. Oh, my. Two people I know have said on Facebook that we all know that the Antichrist is going to come before the rapture. You see it? Yep. Two people. And I know. There's 7 churches just like this. They just don't know the Bible. Because he will not appear. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He will not appear until after we're gone. That's it. We're gone. And then he appears. They just don't know the Bible. Or what they sat in church and listened to all those years. I have no idea. But that... twice. I'm glad somebody else saw it, that the Antichrist will appear before the rapture. And my question would be, why? Somebody's dinging. That's okay. Don't worry about it. So anyway, that's just one. Another problem, and it relates to this here passage, is the teaching of what we call Calvinism, which is really blooming and blossoming And we're going to get into more of that later in our study. But to have a burden for the people. Now, my question would be this. We all know that God inspired through the Holy Spirit the authors of the Bible to write. Amen? We all agree with that. God inspirationally breathed into man His Word, man wrote, including Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, or a big part of it. Now, sometimes, just like the Apostle Paul revealing, you know what people are saying? Well, when Paul refers to that, when he's talking in the first person about his personal experience, he's not inspired at that point. No. That doesn't mean that can't be inspired because he's talking about his own life. So how could that be inspired? So little by little, they're demeaning and trying to distort the inspiration of Scriptures, of course. And I've learned a lot in the last week from talking to people and things. I've been milling around. I've been on the road traveling, talking to people. I've been looking at some of the stuff on Facebook that you absolutely can't believe. And why would a man say, all you have to do is take the Scriptures. Why would a man say, all of Israel shall be saved, and say, my heart's desire and my heart is broken. I would be willing to go to hell if possible for my nation, for my kinsmen, if possible, if God has no program for the Jews. Why would a man make such a statement? You know what their answer is? Well, he wasn't inspired when he said that. He's given a personal testimony. Personal testimonies are not inspired. This is what they're saying. And it's affecting people in churches. I'm just about ready to say goodbye to Facebook. I'm telling you. It's distorting and destroying. It's a great way to reach out to people, but it's becoming a tool of the devil to spread false doctrine. Bad doctrine, and people are becoming infected with it. And you got to weigh the good out, you know. Well, but anyway, we're not going to do that. But I'll tell you, it really discourages you. My question again, why would we say the Bible is inspired? Every word of it. Every word of God is inspired. And Deuteronomy says so. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we know that the entire Bible, from beginning to cover to the end, was inspired by God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We know that. So if the Holy Spirit inspired an author to write, a man's heart concerning the Jewish people, why would the Holy Spirit inspire somebody to write their testimony if God doesn't have a plan for the Jewish nation? You understand what I'm saying? They have no answers. Christianity and some of these big Christian groups that are multi-billion dollar empires have become too big for their own good. And to maintain their income and to maintain their popularity, they're giving in and they're buckling and not in a good way. Just like the old earth explanation. Well, we can explain that. These Christian groups that believe the Bible, we would call them evangelical. The way they explain an old earth and not evolution is that creation was evolved. It was an evolving creation. It wasn't a one-day creation. It wasn't a two-day creation. They say it evolved. I got one answer to that. God made man with age. God made the earth with age. Period. God didn't make the egg. He made the chicken. So that solves that problem. You know, people got... It's a day when darkness is getting darker. And the little light of your heart and mind needs to shine brighter. It's a day when the darkness is getting darker, and this little light in our heart needs to shine brighter. Not a day to be silent and to just let the light shine and let God use us as the Lord opens the opportunities. So Paul reveals in chapter 9 and chapter 10 my heart's desire for my kinsmen. That's national. People were saved individual. He always went to the synagogue first. Everywhere he went in his travels, in the book of Acts, on all of his journeys, he always went to the synagogue first. When they rejected him, then he went to the Gentiles. The Jew first, and then the Gentiles. So, we saw that last couple of weeks, this broken-hearted apostle for his people, and yet he's an apostle to the Gentiles. But he never lost the heart for his people. Now, chapter 9, 10, and 11 has to do with his kinsmen as he writes this. And inspirationally, just because there's some personal testimony in here doesn't mean it's not inspired. Don't anybody come along and corrupt anybody's mind and heart in that way. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Now, seven privileges that the Israelites had, we mentioned them in chapter 9 and verse 4 and 5. Now, let me mention them very quickly again. These are seven privileges that the Israelite people, the only nation that has ever existed on the earth, there's only one nation that ever had these seven privileges. Only one. No other nation could claim them. Adoption, the glory. You remember the name Ichabod? Huh? What happened? The glory departed. They had the glory. No other nation had the glory. The Philistines had it for a little while, and they sent it back because God gave them hemorrhoids. I still believe our God is a God of humor. He did. He gave them hemorrhoids. Oh, boy. Yeah, they had the glory, but it wasn't for very long. They said, get these out of here. We'll be all dead men. They had the covenants. God never made any covenants with any other nations. The giving of the law given to the nation of Israel. That's confirmed over in Romans chapter 3, verse 1. The service of God, that means the ceremonial law, or the priesthood and the tabernacles, the temple later, and the high priest, and the Passover, and the feast days, and all of that ceremonial law. No other nation had it. The services of God. And the promises began with Abraham. The promises. Wasn't made to any other. Was made to the nation of Israel. And then, the one we looked at in closing last week, the fathers. The fathers. Now, to get anybody's pedigree, and I guess today you can go somehow on the internet, I don't mess with it because I don't know what I'm doing. And I get into things that, you know, and then you start panicking and you start pushing buttons, and then things start blooming and blossoming. So I just go over and unplug it. Too dangerous for me. I don't like it. The fathers. Now, We've got to, as we looked at last Wednesday night, start a process of elimination. So that's what we did last Wednesday night. The fathers refer to the father, first of all, it's the fathers, then the tribes. Follow along with me. It's the fathers, then the tribes, and then a selected tribe. You got to follow the process. If you want to get to the right place, you got to get to the right person. And if you go to the right person, you got to follow the right plan. And it's God's. It's God's. So you got the fathers, you got the 12 tribes. Selected out of the 12 tribes is one. And out of that one tribe, you follow the seed. And you'll follow him right to Bethlehem, then to Calvary, then into your heart. But if you don't follow that process, and so what do? You have to come down to with the fathers through a process of elimination. Same way with the tribes, process of elimination. All the way down to the one tribe, process of elimination. And that's what we're going to do down to here. Okay? Got to follow. If you want to get to the right person, wow. And a lot of people are in deception. So the fathers. Now, who are the fathers? Israelites. Who are Israelites? That's the question in verse 9. Who are Israelites? He just gave us his broken heart and continued sorrow for them. Then he turns around and asks the question, well, who are the Israelites? Who are they? Then he says to whom, and gives the sevenfold privileges. And then in chapter 9, verse 5, whose are the fathers? The fathers of the Israelites. And the fathers go on, and of whom as concerning the flesh, Christ came. That's who we're after. That's who we're after. Christ. We're after the person, and to get to the person, you got to follow the program. To follow the program, you got to follow the pedigree. You're going to end up in the wrong place. You do that through the process of elimination. So we're looking concerning the flesh, Christ, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. So that's, it only took him one verse to get us to the person, to whom the whole Jewish nation has rejected. He came to his own, and his own received him not. That's John chapter 1. He came to his own received him not. They said, he is Beelzebub, through the prince of the power of the devil. That's how he's done these great miracles. So they called him the son of the fornication. That's what they called him. We be not born in fornication. That's what they said. And they boldly and blatantly, when he presented himself to the nation of Israel, as Zechariah said he would, as we studied weeks ago, they said, we will not have this man to rule over us. That was it. Have you ever talked to family that said that? You ever talked to some friends that said that? If you want that kind of life, that's fine. If you want to go to church and act like a nut, and pray and waste your time and all that. If you want to do all those crazy things, go ahead. But it's not going to be in my life. I don't have time for all that crazy stuff. You've heard it. And it hurts when it comes from family. Yep. Now, so we've come to the person of Christ. Now, that's very clear in verse 5. The fathers. Now, verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. not as though the word of God hath taken non-effect. Because he says the conclusion as he gives the predicament. Kind of backwards. Again, inspired. And there's a reason for that. And I don't know that I've got enough time to try to explain it. It's complicated. Sometimes you give the reason before you give the problem. You see, you give the answer before you give the problem. I've done that in counseling. I wouldn't call it psychological approach or I don't know what you call it. But there's a reason for this. And here it is. The Word of God does have effect. We know that God's promise was, my Word will never return void. So God's Word will have an effect. But, here's what it says. He said that because of this. For, that's what it means. The word for means fall back upon what I just said. The Word of God will never be found false, or the Word of God will never be found not fulfilled. That's why he said that. Why? For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now, anybody want to come up and teach us? They're not. He's praying for the Israelites. That's what he said. Then he says, well, let's start out by, I've got a broken heart. Continued sorrow in my heart for my kinsmen, the Jewish people. And then he says, who are Israelites? Then he lists the seven privileges of the Israelites. And the last of those are the fathers, leading to Christ. Starting with the fathers, leading to Christ. But you go with the pedigree with the fathers, then the tribes, then the one tribe, and then selection on down through. That's very important. What? Because you're wanting to get to a person, the promised one. But he says, and here's how it is, they're not all Israelites who are of Israelite. They're not all Israelites which are of Israel. They're not all Israel. So, process of elimination. Now, verse 7. That's why he said, not as though the word of God has no effect. Verse 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham. They're not Israelites just because they call Abraham their father. I got an angry face last Wednesday night. One of those burnt orange? Yeah. I said it, I'm going to make somebody mad when I teach this. They gave me a burnt orange. They are not, this is what it said, just because they say Abraham's our father doesn't mean they're children. Just because they say Abraham is our father, therefore we are of Israel, you can't say that. Why? And this is where we left off. Finally, we got where we left off last Wednesday night. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So from the father pedigree, it goes from Abraham down to Isaac. You know the stolen blessing? That blessing came from God to Abraham. Abraham wanted to give it to Ishmael, the maybe baby. And God said, no, it's not going to go to Ishmael. Sarah's going to have a son just like I said she would. And she did. And the blessing was passed in from Abraham that came from God on Abraham, was passed from Abraham over on to Isaac. And Isaac was going to give it to Esau. And the cunning work of Rebekah got it on the right person. We're going to talk a little bit about that next week as we get into that situation. The times the devil tried to distort through the fathers. Abraham said, "No, I don't want a son. I'm too old for a son. Sarah's womb is dead. We don't need a son. Here is Ishmael. Ishmael can live before the Lord." Then the second father, Isaac, said, "Go out into the field and get some venison that I love, that my soul may bless you before I die." And out the door went Esau. And it came back close to being distorted again, had it not been for the cunning, deceptive character of Rebekah. They got it on the right person. Both fathers almost screwed up, if I can use that terminology. Both fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and Abraham is responsible for the maybe baby. Isaac knew that the younger would rule the older. He knew that at birth. He knew that. He prayed for Rebekah to have children, and it was revealed to Rebekah, and Rebekah told it to Isaac, that the younger would rule the elder would serve the younger, the blessing would go to the younger, and Jacob was the younger, and yet Esau was going to bless Isaac was going to bless Esau and not Jacob. Both of the fathers. You don't think the cunning devil was not at work? Because he didn't want this pedigree to get... He didn't want it to get down there to the seed for the Son of God to come. So he started corrupting from day one. And it all started with the maybe baby. And it didn't stop there. And it gets more severe. It gets more severe. Now, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." And we read that in Genesis chapter 22, verse 17. We'll go back there very briefly tonight. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 22, 17. I want to tell you, Genesis 21, verse 11, after God says, "You send Hagar and Ishmael out from you, you send them out. They can't stay in your home anymore." That's in the preceding verses. And when you come to chapter 21, verse 11, and when God told him to put the young man out, this young man is now 13 years old. "The thing," in verse 11, "and the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son." That's Ishmael. It was grievous. He wanted him to be the promised son. That's what he wanted. He wanted him. It was very grievous. And God said unto Abraham in verse 12, "Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman, but in all that Sarah has said." Boy, when a woman has to straighten a man out, especially a father, especially a God-chosen, God-called, programmed father, Rebekah had to straighten cunningly Isaac out. This is the fathers. As they said, sometimes you may not want to know your pedigree, what all your ancestors may have got into. I don't know. "Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman and all that Sarah has said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And Isaac. Then he goes on to promise Ishmael in verse 11 on down through. Verse 13, I'm sorry. I've got so much I want to teach and I'm all tongue-tied. Genesis 21, 13. From there on down, Ishmael will become a nation. Ishmael become a nation. And he'll become a great nation. And his hand will be against every man. His hand will be against every man. He's going to be wild. That's what it says. And Hagar took a wife out of Egypt for him. That all follows after it's told Abraham, God has to correct him through Sarah that it's going to be Isaac. So, process of elimination. Eliminate Ishmael. I'm sorry if that makes you mad. Eliminate Ishmael. He's not, even though he's tied to Abraham. Eliminate him. In Isaac. Now, let's read on. Verse 8. That is clarification now. Clarification. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. That's the maybe baby. The flesh produced that. Not faith. Not faith. The flesh. They are the children of flesh. Here it is. They are not the children. Oh, 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 oh. Wow. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. I didn't say it. God said it. Pardon? I'll probably get some more orange faces. We believe the Bible here, folks. If the Bible says it, that settles it for us. Listen, a lot of people can't understand this. We're going to get into election and all this stuff and all that. Let's read on here a little bit before we get in that. Now, who are the children of God? If the children of the flesh are not the children of God, then who are the children of God? But the children of the promise. The children of the promise are counted for the, there's the word, the seed. The children of the promise are counted for the seed. That seed can be traced all the way back to the promised seed of Adam. Adam was promised a seed of woman in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Adam and Eve was promised that the seed of woman would come. And you can trace it, and I did that about 5 or 6 years ago. I traced it from Genesis chapter 3 all the way up to Christ. That's not our purpose tonight. But the seed, that's important. Now, for this is the word in verse 9. Here's the word of promise. At this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son. That's the promise. You have to wait. That's the promise. What you've got and what you want me to make as the blessing was produced by the flesh. Now, if that shouldn't answer all religion's questions, all religions that base their work, activity, their goodness, and everything they accomplish upon what they do according to their flesh, then they better wake up. The children of God are not by the flesh, but by promise. But by promise. Not by flesh. So the flesh, listen, the flesh cannot produce any children of God. Wow. I met some parents that thought they had given birth to the Messiah. And that little rascal grew up to be a teenager and they changed their mind. He's a little devil. Yeah. Yep. The children of the flesh are not the children of God. Now let me hit this on the nail, this nail on the head as well while I'm right here. And this is floating out there as well, that we're all the children of God. Everybody's the children of God. God would have to beg the difference with you. And the Bible would disagree with you. And when it comes down to it, anybody that has any intellect or any heart is going to believe God, not man. Not going to believe man. Now, when the Bible says the children of flesh, these are not the children of God. What the teaching out there again is floating is the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. That God is the Father of all, and that makes us brothers of all. Let's just all get together, love one another. That moves into a one world system religiously. That's the ecumenical teaching. That's the ecumenical movement. Let's just all get together. We're all the children of God. You're the children of God by promise. And where will that promise lead you? Right to the seed. The promised seed of Genesis 3:15. That's where that promise will lead you. Where to come through? When it comes down after the first 1,700, 1,800 years, comes through Abraham. Then Isaac. And the promise is passed on. So now we're down to Isaac. If you can't trace your pedigree back to Isaac, then you're not a real Jew. Your father may be Abraham, but you're not a real Jew. You can't trace your pedigree back to Isaac. And even tracing your pedigree back to Isaac doesn't necessarily make you a child of God. Because even though it's an Isaac, it's still going to be by promise. Because we got some more process of elimination yet. We've got another father, then we've got another tribe, then we've got some process of elimination there. This is the word of promise. At this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son. She had a miraculous son just like Mary. Sarah had a dead womb. Mary had a virgin womb. Both were miraculously able to give birth. Mary's was the promised one. Sarah was the promised one that would lead to the promised one of the seed. And you've got to follow that seed. You've got to follow that pedigree. So who are Israelites? Who are Israelites? And he says, not all of Israel is all of Israel. Not all the people that claim to be Israel are Jews. They're not all Israelites. You've got to follow the promise. Now, verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children. Now he's going to get into life in the womb before birth. You want a verse? Anti-abortion? Pro-life? Anti-pro-choice? Murderous doctors? Abortion clinics? Corrupt people that want to kill innocent lives? Here it is. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. They're children. What are they called? They're children. They're not been born yet. But what are they called? Children. That's it. For the children not being born yet. What was that in the womb of Rebekah called? Children. There it is. Okay, let's read the Bible. So what are they killing out there? They're killing children. Millions and millions. They're murdering and butchering children. Where were these two kids? Children in the womb. There it is. I'll tell you, I've always had a heart for children. I've always had a heart for children. We've always had great children's ministries, orphanage, and so forth. I've always had a passionate desire to help children and so forth. And boy, if I sat for 5 minutes and dwell upon a baby being butchered or murdered, it just about drives me insane. I got to get up and move. It just about causes my mind to go into a, I just can't hardly handle it. It's just nothing but pure, premeditated murder. Period. What are they called? The children. The children. She had twins. She had twins. The children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. They hadn't done anything. They hadn't been born yet, but they're called children. That the purpose of God according to, there's your word, election, might stand. But election is not of works. Election is not based upon what a person does or doesn't do. Election is a choice or a choosing. And that's something that a sovereign, all-knowing God reserves only He to do. To choose. Not of works, but of Him that calleth. Election is not done by what we do. And God doesn't call or choose by what we do. Of Him that calleth. And it was said to her, here it is, the elder shall serve the younger. Now that was told to them before they were born. And yet Isaac was going to put the blessing on the elder. Yeah. Unbelievable. Abraham almost messed up. Isaac almost messed up. God had to step in and intervene. Now, I want to clarify very quickly, because it's already past 8. I could go on a long time, but I know that's not favorable. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, when we read that, we got a mental concept that we grew up with as little children, growing up in homes and in society and culture. And when we think of the word hatred, we think of something brutal and mean and cruel. That's not what that word means. Hatred is just simply the lack of affection. If I can put it that way. A lack of affection. God had an affectionate desire for Jacob. He did not have for Esau. Why? Because God knows what's in the heart of people. Even when they're in the womb. God told Jeremiah, I saw you when you were in the womb of your mother. I saw you before you was ever born, Jeremiah. I saw you. I knew you. Now, we can't eliminate that our God is a sovereign God. And we can't eliminate that our God is an all-knowing God. And what He does by His will and by His choice. Because He knows everything. He knows tomorrow. I don't. It's better just leave it in His hands. Amen? Now, he's going to go down and explain that. Why did God choose Jacob and not Esau? Why? Which gets us to the third father. Now, what's the question that we're answering? The question was presented to us, who are Israelites? Well, you can't say that the nation of Israel... Listen, this may pop a cork. You cannot say that the nation of Israel are the children of God. No one can say that the nation of Israel are the children of God. Now we can say the nation of Israel are the chosen of God. But there's a big difference between being chosen of God and being a child of God. Big difference. The nation of Israel was and is the chosen of God, the elected of God. And it's through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But that don't make them the children of God, because we're not the children of God by the flesh. So the nation of Israel are not the children of God. The nation of Israel are the chosen of God. Big difference. Big difference. And we'll kind of iron that out next Wednesday night. I enjoy this because it clears things up. Now, another problem, when you get into this election and things, Calvinism is coming back. It's in a school right now. I'm going to have to do some talking about it, and it's not pleasant. Calvinism teaches that God has elected some people to go to hell. That's what Calvinism teaches, that God has elected some people to go to hell. Those people that teach that kind of stuff and that kind of garbage, they don't know the Bible. And they certainly don't know the God that I know. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if anybody goes to hell, they go to hell because they choose to go to hell, because God has chosen them to salvation. But if they reject the promise, they reject the Son of God, they reject the plan of God, they reject the forgiveness of God, they have chosen to go to hell. Not God. God has chosen the whole world and elected the whole world to be saved. We're not children of God by flesh. I'm going to be saying that a lot through these three chapters. We're not the children of God by flesh. Got to follow the seed. Got to follow the seed. We'll pick up our next Wednesday night, or we will be here another 3 or 4 hours. All right, shall we stand? Our Heavenly Father, thank You for the good time of prayer tonight. And as our brother Donnie has prayed, we say amen. For all the requests, collectively, that we pray often individually. Lord, send help as You promised from the throne of grace to help in time of need. We thank You for the good report for Greg, how we rejoice, and that the growth and the disease is not there, that the medicine has worked again to take it and put it in remission. And Lord, we just pray that You give the doctors and the teams wisdom. Give Greg, we pray, encouragement and all that they're involved in, their parents and so forth. But we say amen. Send help, Lord, for all the requests that we lifted up to Thee tonight. Thank You for our Bible study and the sweet Holy Spirit of God that guided us into the truths of the Word of God tonight. Dismiss us now. Thy blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming out this evening.